بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Before we start, the student who was reciting Quran, Surah Al-Rahman, as he was reciting, فَبِأَيَّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. We know that in Surah Al-Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that again and again. فَبِأَيَّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. What is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying again and again? Why is he repeating this so many times? You know, this is the unique thing about this surah. And this surah is basically named after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it starts off with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with one of the attributes of Allah, Ar-Rahman. So, obviously, there is something that must be so important that again and again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying the same thing. You know, we'll get back to this, but this reminds me that once there was a father and son who were in the park, and the son was playing in the park and the father was sitting there. All of a sudden the son, his eyes fell upon a bird. So he asked his father, "What is this? Huh? You see this thing flying around?" His father said, "It's a bird." And he started to play again. Again he saw the same bird flying around, and he asked his father again, "What is this?" He said, "It's a bird." And again he started to play, and after some time he asked the same question, again and again and again. And each time calmly the father said, "It's a bird." Some time went by. In fact, a lot of time went by. When this child grew up, went through the teenage years, went to high school, became whatever he became. And now, subhanAllah, he's at his point where it's his peak of his career. He's making a lot of money. He's very busy. And now his old father calls him one day while he was extremely busy. And when he called him, the son got really upset. "Don't you know I'm so busy? I don't have time right now. Is it something so important?" The father did not say anything and he just hung up the phone. After a few days, the son, he felt bad for, you know, talking to his father in such a way, so rudely. So he went and visited his father. He was very old and he apologized for whatever he had done. His father, he went to his room and he came back with a little diary that he had with him. And he said, and he opened up the diary and he said, "You know, you probably don't remember. When you were a little boy and you were playing in the park, and as you were playing, you saw that bird. And you asked me what that was. And I said to you that that was a bird. And again he asked me the same question, 'What is that?' And I said again it was a bird." And subhanAllah, he took out that diary and he showed it to his son, dated 20 years or 30 years before, that day you asked me 27 times what that is, and I said very calmly that it's a bird. I did not get upset at you. And subhanAllah, now after 30 years, when you have reached wherever you wanted to be in life, when I ask you a question and when I just call you, you don't even have time to talk to me for even 1 minute or two." But subhanAllah, the fact of keep on repeating again and again. So why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps repeating this word again and again in Quran al-Kareem? And subhanAllah, if we look at Quran, if we recite Quran, we'll see there's a lot of repetition in Quran. How many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word, "Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, ittaqullah, 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 ati'ullah, These words are repeated again and again in Quran al-Kareem. The reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeats these words, and what is the meaning of these ayahs? That which of the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do we reject and do we deny? What does that mean? You know, we read the translation, mashallah, it's very good. But there is a deeper meaning than just the translation. Every time we use a bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any charge, and in return Allah is saying to us that all I want is that you show gratitude and we don't, it should remind us of فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Every time we breathe in and out of the free air that Allah has given us, of the water that Allah has blessed us, of the food that Allah has provided us, of the wealth that Allah has given us, of the children and family that Allah has blessed us, of the health that Allah has given us, and the list can go on, subhanAllah, we know the list never ends. And we don't show gratitude to Allah. Allah is reminding us, all I want is that you say Alhamdulillah, that you be a grateful servant of mine. And when you don't, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Which of these favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are we denying? Are we not being grateful of? What does this surah talk about? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the different creation of Allah. That's how the surah starts off. And then finally he gets into Jannah and Jahannam and Akhirah. But in the beginning is just about this. Even though we're not doing the tafsir of that today, but since he recited these verses, these couple of ayahs just came to my mind. I thought of sharing these ideas and these thoughts with you as we speak. And again, as I mentioned last week, that, you know, hearing this child reciting Quran al-Kareem, you know, truly it shows that it's a miraculous book. A miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بَلْ هُوَ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ فِي صُدُورِ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He handpicks certain people for the book of Allah. He doesn't give it to everyone. He chooses certain people to have that book. And what does He do with that book? He puts it and He installs that book, His own words, in the hearts of certain people. بَلْ هُوَ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ فِي صُدُورِ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ. It's not just given to anyone. There are certain people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses. If we are not those chosen people, then at least we should appreciate those people who are chosen by Allah. At least we should show respect to those people who are chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He's carrying the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not choose everyone. He chose certain people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also make us amongst those people. SubhanAllah, how old are you? 9 years old. Even the student last week, he was reciting, he was 9 years old. He knew 23 juz, mashallah, he knows 29. He's almost at the verge of finishing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept his efforts and the efforts of his parents and his teachers. Today, inshallah, we'll be completing the last quarter of Surah At-Tawbah, and inshallah we'll be moving on and we'll be finishing the last quarter of the 10th juz. Inshallah that will bring us to the completion of 1/3 of Quran al-Kareem as we're doing this. But one thing that, before we start, also another thing that comes to my mind is that as we are going through the ayahs of Quran, like I said, I'm not going in a lot of details. I'm just going through the translation. And there are a lot of things that we're missing out. And the reason why we're doing this is because tafsir, it requires a lot of time. And we're not doing justice to any of the ayahs of Quran. Really. If we were to go in the tafsir of each ayah will take an hour. Certain times, even just one or two words of Quran al-Kareem will take that much time. So we're not really doing justice to Quran al-Kareem, but just by, you know, going through the translation. But the reason why I'm doing this, and the reason why we chose this method, is so that we can get just an idea of what Quran al-Kareem is saying, so that we get a taste of Quran. We get a taste of Quran. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just an idea. Because subhanAllah, we know that we really don't have the time to go in the tafsir of it, and you know, to go in it. We don't even remember what the Imam said or what the Shaykh said or whoever said the week before. So this way we go through it, you know, at least quarter juz, we do the translation and the very, very important points that are necessary so that we can understand the background of the ayahs, we just mentioned those. But like I said, there is a lot more detail to Quran, and each and every single ayah is beautiful and it's applicable to all of us and it's unique in its own way. That's why it's called an ayah. You know what an ayah means? What does the word ayah mean? Ayah means a sign. A sign. You know, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use the word ayah for, you know, He could have used a different word. But why an ayah? You know, we see signs on the board. Every sign is different. We just look at that board. We have one ayah or one sign about Hibs. When you have one for Quran, one for... each and every single ayah is different. It's not the same. And each and every single poster up there is giving you a different message. Each and every single ayah of Quran is giving you a different message. It's not the same thing. And each and every single ayah is beneficial to us. We'll go through the translations, and as we're going through, I'll do the explanation.
The hypocrites, males and females, are all alike. They bid vice and forbid virtue and withhold their hands from spending in Allah's way. They forgot Allah, so He forgot them. Surely the hypocrites are the sinners. Allah has promised the fire of Jahannam to the hypocrites, men and women, and to the disbelievers who shall live there forever. It is adequate for them. Allah has put His curse on them, and for them there is a lasting punishment. You are like those who were before you. They were stronger than you in power and richer in wealth and children. So they enjoyed their share from the pleasures of this world. Then you enjoyed your share as those before you enjoyed their share, and you indulged in evils as they indulged. They are the ones whose deeds have gone to waste in this world and the hereafter, and they are the losers. Has there not reached them the news of those before them, the people of Nuh and Ad and Thamud, and the people of Ibrahim, and the people of Madian, and the news of the towns overturned? Their messengers came to them with clear signs, so Allah was not such as would wrong them, but they have been doing wrong to their own selves. The believers, male and female, are friends to each other. They bid virtue and forbid vice and establish salah and pay zakah and obey Allah and His messenger. Those are the ones whom Allah will bless with mercy. Surely Allah is powerful, wise. Allah has promised to the believers, male and female, gardens beneath which rivers flow, where they shall live forever, and good homes in gardens of eternity, and Allah's pleasure is above all. That is the supreme success.
So in these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about two different categories of people. One are the hypocrites, munafiqeen, and the others, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions as believers. We spoke about munafiqeen last week as well, that there were people during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam who pretended to be Muslim, but they were not really Muslim. Now, if they were there during the time of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you would think that, you know, being in the company of the Prophet of Allah, being with Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, being with such eminent Sahaba, how could you have certain people like that? How could you ever think that there would be people like that, that ever would ever exist? I mean, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, his appearance and the fact of him being there was so great that it would have probably affected everybody and everyone would just accept. But we learn from the ayahs of Quran that that was not the case. At the end of the day, hidayah was not in the hands of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was in the hands of Allah. And if that was there then that is there today as well. If that was there during the time of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, people who pretended to be believers, And they say that we love Allah. We love the people who love Allah. We love Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's easy to say it. It's easy to say it. And this is exactly what they did. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then brought a challenge. If that's what you say and this is what you claim, if you truly say that, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي, follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in each and every single thing that he does. That is a sign of you that you really love Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Or else it's just a claim. It's nothing else but a claim. Subhanallah, you hear all the time people saying, we're doing this for the sake of Allah. We're doing this to please Allah. We're doing this to please Allah. Are we really, really doing it to please Allah? Or are we just covering up and just saying that we're doing it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We're doing it for the sake of deen. We're doing it for the sake of the... Subhanallah, it's easy to say. It's easy to say. It was done during the time of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there were people like that during that time. And subhanallah, we know if there was there at that time, and it continued on throughout the ummah, it still exists today. Why is it that we don't see a difference in the houses of Allah, in the houses of Allah, in the organizations which are under the name of Islam? We don't see any change. It's the same reason. It's the same reason. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just because He chooses certain people to run it, doesn't necessarily mean that it's right, it's correct. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever he would appoint someone to be as a governor and go to a certain place as a means of education to that community or to those people would be scared. They would be afraid. Prophet of Allah, we're not fit for that position. Please choose someone else. They had this fear of akhirah. It wasn't that, no, you choose me. Prophet of Allah, they would put. But when it came to doing the work of deen, everyone was willing to put up their hand. When it came to work of deen, everyone was willing to put up their hand. But subhanAllah, the munafiqeen, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, if you remember the last week's ayahs, as soon as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would make that announcement, all the mu'mineen, all the believers would go up ahead and put up their hands. And they would be willing to do whatever. But the munafiqeen will make excuses. Oh, we can't do it. We're so busy. We have this, we have that. But subhanallah, when it came to gaining any type of benefit, right away they would be the first people. As soon as Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would receive any spoils of war, or someone would give Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gifts, and he would make an announcement that we have these things, people come to the masjid, munafiqeen will be the first people to come to the masjid. They would be the first people to enter into the masjid. But when it came to matters of deen, they would be the last people. And on the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's talking about those people who have iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, those people who have iman, they click with those people who have iman. A person who loves Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instills the love of the person who loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well, and those people connect. Those people connect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala connects their hearts. As we read in Quran, وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ لَوْ أَنْفَقْتَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مَا أَلَّفْتَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ أَلَّفَ بَيْنَهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about those two tribes, Aws and Khazraj, which are in Madinatul Munawwara. They had wars amongst each other. They didn't like each other. They lived in Medina. At that time it was called Yathrib. They hated each other. They didn't want to see each other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, when iman came in their hearts, أَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ, Allah joined their hearts together. And then Allah says, لَوْ أَنْفَقْتَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مَا أَلَّفْتَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ. If you were to spend everything in the entire world to try to join them together, did whatever you could do, use all your resources and your power and your wealth to join these two groups of people together, it would not happen. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ أَلَّفَ بَيْنَهُمْ. Only Allah can do something like this. And like I said, those people who have iman in their hearts, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as we learn from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the hadith of Abu Dawud, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, that when a servant of mine, he loves me, I also love that servant of mine. A well-known hadith, we heard it many times. But again, repetition, so that it revives us. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, that when my servant loves me, I also start loving that person. And then what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? That when he comes to me, then I even come closer to him. When he comes to me walking, I come to him running. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking for every opportunity so that we can get connected. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not stop there. Then he makes an announcement in the malaika and the angels that, you know, I love so and so, you also love so and so. The malaika also love that person. Then the malaika, they say, oh Allah, we also love those people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he says, subhanallah, that I have installed the love of this person in the hearts of people, and only in the hearts of those who love me as well. So those people are connected amongst each other. This is a sign of iman. وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ. This is what the ayah is referring to. When people who have iman, they love those people who have iman. Those people who are pretending to have iman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes the love of those people from the hearts of those people who really have iman. Then right away, you know, you don't feel like meeting that person. You don't feel good about that person. It's a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us with true iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of us from hypocrisy, from nifaq, from all the signs and the traits of being a munafiq. Yeah.
O Prophet, carry out jihad, struggle against the disbelievers and hypocrites, and be strict with them. And their abode is Jahannam, hell, and it is an evil terminus. They swear by Allah that they said nothing, while indeed they had said the word of infidelity and had disbelieved after having accepted Islam and had intended what they could not achieve. And they have reacted for nothing but that Allah and His Messenger have enriched them with His grace. So, if they repent, it will be good for them. And if they turn away, Allah will chastise them with a painful punishment in this world and the hereafter. And for them, there is neither a friend on the earth nor a helper. And among them are those who made a pledge with Allah. If He gives us wealth out of His grace, then surely we shall give Him alms and shall be among the righteous. But when He gave them wealth out of His grace, they became stingy about it and went back, turning their faces away. So Allah, in turn, put hypocrisy in their hearts till the day they shall meet Him, because they broke their promise with Allah, and because they have been telling lies. Do they not know that Allah knows what they conceal and what they whisper, and that Allah is well aware of all the unseen? Among the hypocrites there are those who taught the believers, who voluntarily give alms and have nothing but their hard earnings. Still they mock at such people. Allah mocks at them, and for them there is a painful punishment. It is all equal whether you ask pardon for them or do not ask pardon for them. Even if you ask pardon for them 70 times, Allah will never pardon them. That is because they disbelieved in Allah and His Messenger. Allah does not lead the sinning people to the right path. Those who were left behind were happy with their sitting back to the displeasure of the Messenger of Allah, and they disliked carrying out jihad in the way of Allah with their wealth and lives. And they said, do not march in this hot weather. Say, the fire of Jahannam is more intense in heat, only if they could understand. So let them laugh a little and weep a lot, this being a reward of what they used to earn. Then, if Allah brings you back to a group of them and they seek your permission to march, say to them, you shall never march with me ever after, and shall never fight an enemy in my company. You were happy with sitting back the first time. Now sit with those remaining behind. and never offer a prayer on any one of them who dies, and do not stand by his grave. They disbelieved in Allah and his messenger, and died while they were sinners. Their wealth and children should not attract you. Allah only wills to punish them with these in this world, and that their soul depart while they are disbelievers. When a surah is revealed saying, believe in Allah and carry out jihad in the company of his messenger, the capable ones from them seek your permission and say, let us remain with those sitting back. They are happy to be with women who sit back, and their hearts are sealed, so they do not understand. But the messenger and the believers in his company have carried out jihad with their wealth and lives, and for them there are good things, and they are successful. Allah has prepared for them gardens beneath which rivers flow, where they will live forever. That is the supreme achievement.
So these ayahs specifically are referring to the Battle of Tabuk, as I mentioned last week, that there were obviously munafiqeen who did not want to go out, and they were looking for different excuses. That what is it that we can think of so that we don't have to go out and participate in this particular battle? So, you know, they came out with different excuses. The Prophet of Allah, we're sick, we have this, we have that. And not only were they doing that, they were encouraging others not to go as well. As Quran and Kareem speaks, that, you know, it's extremely hot weather, and it was. And it was very difficult for Tabuk, was one of the most difficult battles for the Sahaba, because of the extreme heat and because of the lack of provisions and things like that. They had to go through a lot of difficulty. So, and these people knew that there's a lot of difficulty involved. So right away they were making excuses so that they did not have to participate in the battle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, you know, He was just reminding them, and again, it's a reminder for all of us that where do we stand? When we read about these ayahs of Qur'an al-Kareem, where do we stand? Are we really amongst the iman, those people, wal-mu'minun wal-mu'minat, or are we from al-munafiqeen wal-munafiqat? Subhanallah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls us, forget going out in the path of Allah like that, when hayal al-salah and hayal al-falah is called, do we even make ourselves to the masjid? Hayal al-salah and hayal al-falah is called every single day. Do we make ourselves come to the masjid? These are basic things. Right away, you know, we should think about this. And subhanAllah, every time there's an opportunity and where we can do something for the sake of Allah, for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are we in the forefront or are we in the back saying that, no, I'm too busy? Yes, no doubt. Sometimes we have responsibility, our family responsibility, we have this responsibility. And those things are extremely important as well. But we can't overtake the fara'id and say that, no. You know, subhanAllah, you come across so many people and, you know, it's sad. And where you hear brothers saying that, you know, I can't come to the masjid. Why you can't come to the masjid? I come back from work and I need to get some sleep so I can earn for my... Subhanallah, all Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that at least come 5 times a day. If you cannot, at least try to come at least once to the masjid a day. At least make yourself to the masjid. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions the hadith of Ibn Majah that I wish... And look at the severity of this hadith, that I wish I could not lead the prayer and I go and burn down those houses, those people who wish to perform their salah at home and they did not want to make their way to the masjid. Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that I wish I can burn those houses down. What does that tell us? The severity of these things. When, you know, subhanAllah, when it comes to Qur'an, how much Qur'an do we really recite every single day? You know, we can pick up every single book, we can recite, we can read every single article. We can do all of these things, but the real things are these things. You know, mashallah, a few weeks ago, mashallah, we saw so many people turning up for the application of the masjid, which was great, and alhamdulillah, we needed that support. But it's not just by showing our face. That's not just a sign of iman just by showing up. What is it that we're doing on an individual level, on a practical level, on a daily basis? What is it? What connection do I have with Quran? What connection do I have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How many times do I remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a day? I say that I'm a follower of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, today did I take and did I send blessings on Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Ask ourselves this question. When was the last time that we really thought about Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and what he has done for us? And what is it that we're trying to do so that we can be like him? What is a sign that we are trying to be like Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? These are all questions we need to ask ourselves. These are things which are done on a practical level. You know, and we should start off with the basics. Start off with our salah. Start off with our Quran. You know, I always advise, you know, our students and others as well. And this is something that we have learned from our elders and our scholars. That to have the best day, and if you want to have a blessed day, start off with the Book of Allah. Recite some ayahs of Quran al-Kareem in the morning. You will see the difference in your entire day. You'll see that difference in your entire day. Through the blessing of the verses of Quran al-Kareem, subhanAllah, your whole entire day, even though it may be a very busy day, but your entire day, inshallah, will be blessed. You will feel good from inside. It's through the blessings of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah.
And the excuse makers from the Bedouins came so that they might be allowed to stay behind, while those who were false to Allah and His messengers just stayed behind without seeking permission. A painful punishment is about to fall upon those of them who disbelieve. There is no blame on the weak or on the sick or on those who have nothing to spend if they are sincere to Allah and His messenger. There is no way against those who are good in deeds. Allah is most forgiving, very merciful. Nor is there any blame on those who, when they came to you so that you might provide them with a carrier that they could ride for jihad, and you said to them, I find no carrier to give to you, went back with their eyes flowing with tears and grief because they had nothing to spend. Blame lies, in fact, on those who ask you permission despite being rich. They are happy being with women who sit back. Allah has sealed their hearts so they do not know. They will make excuses to you when you return to them. Say, do not make excuses, we shall never believe you. Allah has told us the facts about you. Allah will see what you do, and His messenger as well. Then you shall be returned to the knower of the seen and the unseen, and He will tell you what you have been doing. They swear by Allah before you when you will go back to them so that you may ignore their misdeeds. So just ignore them. They are filth, and their abode is Jahannam. A recompense for what they used to do. They swear before you so that you may be pleased with them. So even if you are pleased with them, Allah will not be pleased with the sinning people. The Bedouins are often more strict in disbelief and hypocrisy, and are most likely to be ignorant of the limits of what Allah has sent down to His messenger. Allah is all-knowing, all-wise. And among the Bedouins, there are those who take what they spend as they find, and they will look forward to the cycles of time to turn against you. Upon those is the evil cycle. And Allah is all-healing, all-hearing, all-knowing. And among the Bedouins, there are others who believe in Allah and the last day and take what they spend as a source of nearness to Allah and of prayers from the messenger. It is indeed a source of nearness for them. Allah will admit them to His mercy. Surely Allah is the most forgiving, very merciful.
When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came to Madinatul Munawwara, when he migrated to Medina, the people of Medina, they used to celebrate on a particular day. And by celebrating, they used to fast. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inquired about that. That why is it they fast on this particular day? So he was informed that this is the day that the Bani Israel were freed from Fir'aun and his army. And as a result of that, they fast. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, نَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ مِنْ مُوسَى مِنْهُمْ, that we are closer to Musa alayhi salatu wa salam than these people are. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also advised Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in to fast. And he said that that so that we don't be exactly like them, we don't fast only on one day. Rather, if someone wishes to fast, he should fast one day before or one day after, which is the 9th and the 10th, or the 10th or the 11th. Today, after Salatul Maghrib, now is the 10th of Muharram. Yesterday was the 9th. So if we haven't fasted yesterday and we want to fast for the 10th, tomorrow is the 10th, we fast tomorrow, and then we fast on Sunday as well, on Saturday as on Sunday as well, because tomorrow's fast will finish on Saturday and then we'll fast on Sunday. So, and there are many rewards for fasting on this particular day. The hadith are mentioned there. But the point I wanted to mention over here, as we're talking about munafiqeen and subhanAllah, their traits and their qualities, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, that one point of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how it's, you know, connected to what I was saying, is subhanAllah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very, very cautious and was very, very particular of the fact of not being like anyone else, and he wanted Muslims to have their own identity. He wanted Muslims, those people who have Iman, to have their own way of doing certain things. We shouldn't be following anyone else. We should be following Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, period, that's it. And subhanAllah, for that reason, even if it's an ibadah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not want us to do exactly as what they have done. So because of that, you fast one day before, or you fast one day after, so you don't resemble them exactly. In Quran al-Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a beautiful ayah in Quran al-Kareem. He mentions about two different types of people. اِتَّبَرَّ الَّذِينَ اتُّبِعُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوا وَرَأَوُ الْعَذَابُ وَتَقَطَّعَتْ بِهِمُ الْأَسْبَابُ وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوا لَوْ أَنَّ لَنَا كَرَّةً. What comes after that? فَنَتَبَرَّأَ مِنْهُمْ كَمَا تَبَرَّأُوا مِنَّا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about these two different groups of people. There is one group of people who, you know, who come out with different things, and people follow them blindly. You know, what we call trendsetters. They set the trend for everyone else. It could be for whatever it is. And blindly people follow that. It could be hairstyle, clothing, whatever it may be. And we know that, subhanAllah, that it changes. The style changes all the time. You see sometimes people having different types of haircut, and everyone starts following that. But that will last for 6 months, and then, you know, sometimes you get these books, especially by the post office, I've seen it, that, you know, how things were back in that particular year. The year, I don't know if you have seen it, 1980 or 1970, they will have the car that came out in 1970, everything that came out in 1970, the latest styles. And I find that very interesting to go back and see what type of style people were used to have at that time, for their haircuts, for their clothing. And subhanAllah, it just amazes you. And then, you know, depending on what year you're born, you can see what was the latest car that came out at that time, what was the latest music that was playing at that time, who won the, you know, the World Series title at that time, in that year. It's pretty interesting. And then you can go through all the years. So if we look at it, you know, every year the style changes. People, their style changes. And I always give the example of glasses. You know, I still remember that when I started to wear glasses when I was maybe 9 years old, those big frames that everyone pays so much money, the plastic ones, you get them for free. You get those, and I do respect to those who have it, that's fine if you haven't, because that's the style now. But I remember that at that time that was free. No one wanted to wear it. And then, you know, for those people who wear glasses, you probably can relate to what I'm saying, is that slowly the glasses started to get so small that they became like little specks. And then they became rimless. And then, you know, slowly they started to get big again. And then the size started to get big. And now the whole glasses, now it seems like we're back in 1970s. You know, even the shoe styles, the Nike and the Adidas, if you look at their style, it's all old school. They call it old school. Old school is not the new style now. There was a time when, you know, you buy jeans which are ripped. You buy them ripped. That style is now gone. There was a time when people used to wear their jeans so low that it would be dragging on the ground. This was a style. So styles change as we go along. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about that in Quran. It's amazing how Allah mentions about that in Quran. That there are people who set the trend for others. And there are other people who do that trend. Trendsetters and trend doers. So these people, they follow them. And they do exactly whatever, you know, what that trend is out there. You know, we all know about haircuts. There was a time when everyone used to have mushroom haircuts. It was to be cut from the back and the top was left, you know, uncut and was long. Now we see that 3/4 of the hair is cut and only half of, is quarter of it is left. This is a style now. And we don't know what the style is going to be in the future. I mean, these styles keep changing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, اِتَّبَرَّ الَّذِينَ اتُّبِعُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوا. On the day of Qiyamah, these people who used to follow the others blindly, on the day of Qiyamah, they would try to go to them, say, look, we followed you, we try to be like you, we wanted everything to do how you were doing it. And if it was an athlete or a movie star, we would try to be like you. Subhanallah, we know Blue Jays are doing very good in their playoffs right now. Everyone is after Blue Jays. I saw some people, they weren't wearing a shirt. And when I looked close up, but it looked like they were wearing a shirt. They painted the jersey on their body. It was a painted jersey on their body. It looked like a shirt. They made it exactly like a shirt. But the day they get eliminated, and there are people who are making dua that they don't. But subhanAllah, if they get eliminated, as they're playing right now, someone's looking at the score. You know, all of that is gone. And after some years, again, they make it back into the playoffs, and again, the same thing with whoever it may be. But subhanAllah, you know, it's amazing. This is human psychology, to look, to follow someone, to do something. You can't just be your own. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says that, look, these people who are after them, so crazy. You know, if you go to a hockey game, or if you go to a football game, or even cricket game in that sense, it's the same, what craze the people have, and what people are willing to do for those things. You know, I have been told that, you know, example, take the Blue Jays again. They're still trying to get to, you know, trying to pass this series so that they can get to the World Series. And those tickets have already been sold out. They're not even sure if they're going to even make it there, World Series. But those tickets have already been sold out. What type of craze that people have? What people do to try to be like them? So Allah says, on the day of Qiyamah, since they try to be like them and they did whatever they could in dunya so they could be like them, they're going to try to go after them on the day of Qiyamah. Say, come, they're going to go to them for help. So please help us. You know, we did whatever we could so that we can be like you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, اتَّبَرَّ الَّذِينَ اتُّبِعُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوا. They're going to cut themselves totally away from them. Say, you want us to help you? Who told you to follow us? We didn't tell you to become like us. We didn't tell you to wear our jerseys. We didn't tell you that, you know, you become like us and you dress like us and you talk like us and you do everything like us. We didn't tell you to do that. You chose to do that. When they will see the punishment of Allah on that day, they're going to say, I have to worry about my own problems. I have my own problems to deal with. I can't do anything for you. Allah says, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوا لَوْ أَنَّ لَنَا كَرَّةً فَنَتَبَرَّأَ مِنْهُمْ كَمَا تَبَرَّأُوا مِنَّا. Those people who used to follow them, they would say to Allah, oh Allah, you know, we went crazy after them. We did whatever we could so that we can be like them. And I'm not just referring to athletes. Everything in general. Clothing, lifestyle, hairstyle, way of talking, subhanAllah. They will say, oh Allah, give us just that one moment. لَوْ أَنَّ لَنَا كَرَّةً. Oh Allah, we wish we could have only that one moment so that we can go back in time and we can come back to dunya. لو أن لنا كرمة فنتبرأ منهم كما تبرأوا منا. So that we can reject them the way they have rejected us today. كذلك يريهم الله أعمالهم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, this is the way how we show their a'mal, their deeds. حَسَرَاتٍ عَلَيْهِمْ وَمَا هُمْ بِخَارِجِينَ مِنَ النَّارِ. They will be remorsing. And He didn't say just regret. Regret upon regret. حَسَرَات. It's a plural. Regret upon regret upon regret. وَمَا هُمْ بِخَارِجِينَ مِنَ النَّارِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, they will never escape the fire of Jahannam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. But it's really an eye-opening for all of us. Now you know these styles will come and go. For us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows psychologically we need to follow someone. We need to follow somebody. We have to do something. That's why He sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You follow Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and that's it. That is your style. For everyone to come until the day of Qiyamah. You follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You follow his style. You follow his method. You follow his dress code. You follow the way he talks, the way he walks. And that's why, subhanAllah, all of those things have been preserved so that we can apply that in our life. And if we do that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam won't reject us like how these people. Rather, he will say, come by me, I will help. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And like I said, these are things that need to be done on a practical level. You know, it's easy to say that we have iman. You know, I love Allah. I love Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everyone can make that claim. That's why Allah puts that challenge. If you really do, فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يُحْبِبْكُمْ Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you. And that's a sign that you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us the ability of practicing upon and implementing these ayahs of Quran al-Kareem into our life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us the true believers and be amongst those who love Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa qulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa lisa'iri al-muslimin wa al-muslimat. Right. As far as the sunnah is concerned, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would normally fast on the 9th and 10th. And if he had missed it, then instead of just fasting on the 10th, you would have to do the 11th as well. Somebody asked me yesterday about fasting for the first 9 days of Muharram. And I told them that those first 9 days is... they were actually confused with Dhul Hijj. It's actually fasting for the first 9 days of Dhul Hijj. And these, you know, fasting on these 3 days are separate from obviously that. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases the risk of sustenance, risk in sustenance in this particular month by doing extra ibadah and virtue. So that's one of the reasons why we fast during this month. And I remember that also in the hadith Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that you should spend on your family members in this month. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put blessings in your risk as well by spending on your family members. And I remember this was a practice of our sheikhs and our teachers, that when we would be studying students, every student would get $5 from the teachers. That was a sunnah to practice upon the hadith of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That by doing this would risk give blessings in their wealth.
Will my
Nafil Roza
be accepted? The second part is, if yes, do I get
ajr
for both
Roza
and
Nafil,
or
I
can only be counted as
Nafil? As far as the question is concerned, If a person has some fast that he has to make up for, or she has to make up for from the month of Ramadan, then you would make up that fast first, and that would be a separate type of fast. Basically, you're doing qada of that. You can't combine the two intentions together. You're not allowed to. You won't be able to combine those two intentions together. However, there are some ulama who say that if you choose to fast on this particular day as the day of Ashura, then you're allowed to fast, but then keep that separate fast for the day of Ashura and make up for the days of Ramadan some other time then. You shouldn't combine the two fasts together because you have to make up for the fast anyways, so you're just getting a shortcut. Okay, let me do it on this day so I can get, two things done at one time.
Is it okay? Do we have to do that first and not do the
nafil
roza or
sunnah
roza?
No, you still can do the nawafil, but you just have to make sure that you make up for the farz. Just like salah, that if someone has missed salah of his life and he has to make up for it, definitely he would have to make up for it. But if a person wishes to perform nawafil or sunnah, he's allowed to do that. Same thing in fasting. I know a lot of people who have to make up for their fast in the month of Ramadan. They wait for winter to come because the days are very short. Of course.
Is that okay, right?
Of course.
But who knows? You live at the time of Ramadan.
If you live, yeah, that's another thing. But inshallah, if you made that intention, you'll get the reward. The question was that, during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were no copies of Quran. So that's why, this system started in where people would memorize Quran. So the brother was saying to him that, there is no need for students, for kids to memorize Quran anymore because there are copies of Quran everywhere. So a few things that we should keep into consideration are in mind. Number one is the reason why they memorize Quran is not only just to preserve Quran al-Kareem. It's not, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran al-Kareem, the ayah which I recited, he says the reason, how he preserved Quran, it's not through books. بَلْ هُوَ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ فِي صُدُورِ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ. These ayahs have been preserved through the hearts of people, not through the books. If tomorrow, if all of these books are gone, and it's not hard for these books to be eliminated, these Quran, copies of Quran to be burnt. Subhanallah, there was a time like that. That in the Muslim Ummah, you read the history of Spain, read through that. All the Islamic books, copies of Quran, they put all of them in the sea. They say that the sea was black and it was red because of how many people they killed and how many Qurans and how many Islamic literature they put into the ocean. If that happens again, may Allah protect. But we know that we have people who have memorized it. And this is the method that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen. That's number one. Number two, the other benefit of Qur'an al-Kareem itself is just by reading Qur'an. Just the fact of reciting so much Qur'an for that person, a means of benefit, that he doesn't have to have a copy of Qur'an with him all the time. It could be in the car. And subhanAllah, I find that so helpful that, I'm driving and I can just, if I'm driving, it takes me an hour. I know I can easily finish 2-3 juz. You don't have to worry about sitting down opening the Qur'an. Just the way how we can do dhikr, those people who have memorized Qur'an, they can just keep reciting Qur'an. That's the second benefit. The third benefit is that it's not only beneficial to him, but it's also beneficial to his parents, his family members. That subhanAllah, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what does he say? That amongst those things which will be a means of reward even after a person dies, وَلَدًا صَالِحًا يَدْعُوا لَهُ. Pious children who would keep on doing good, they would keep on making dua, keep on reciting Quran, and that reward will go to their parents. Number four, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions about that hadith, the well-known hadith, which for a lot of reason, a lot of times parents put their children into the HIPS program, that hadith, where you can take 10 people out of Jahannam. So you know, you find a lot of people, okay, make him hafiz, inshallah, we're good. So that is there as well. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the hadith of Tirmidhi, Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, 10 such people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made Jahannam compulsory upon them, he will choose 10 of those people. And then not only then, once he memorizes Quran, look at the other hadith, khayrukum, the best amongst you is the one who learns Quran. But the hadith does not end, and then he teaches it to others. He teaches it to others. His responsibility is not just to memorize it. Now it's his responsibility that he teaches other people as well. And that reward just keeps on reaping, keeps on going on and on. Now subhanAllah, he passes and he teaches someone else, and he teaches someone else, and he teaches someone else. And that reward can keep on going, keep on going, keep on going. Even after that child has died and he was in his grave, but the reward can keep on going on, and he will keep on getting that reward in the grave. So there's endless amount of reward. It's not just about having copy of Quran or not. And we all know Salatul Taraweeh, that's when the Hufaz, their value really goes up. Everyone is looking for Hufaz. Now, mashallah, you know, there's a lot of Hufaz in our area, in our city. There was a time when people would be invited from England and South Africa and from India. There was no place. There was no Hufaz here. Now, alhamdulillah, we have this system where, you know, there's places, you know, where there's HIFS classes and people are memorizing Quran, or people are becoming alims and scholars in this part of the world. There was that time, and I have seen it, and where people would come from England and from Syria and from Egypt and from different places, and they're the ones who used to lead the people in Salatul Taraweeh. There was nobody.
What would happen to that person who, say for example, altogether is prodigious, but he just make it 15 and then pass away from this world? What will happen to these people?
Good question. The hadith is in Musnad Ahmad. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that person who started to memorize Quran al-Kareem, and as he was on the journey of memorizing Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took his life away. As he was memorizing Quran and he wasn't able to complete it, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that an angel is appointed and he helps this person finish the Quran, and on the day of Qiyamah he'll be resurrected as a hafiz.
Can we pay for qaza roza by feeding a meal to masakeen? I heard even if you pay to feed masakeen, you have to make up for the qaza roza.
As far as paying for the fasting, that is only done if you're not if you cannot fast. If a person can fast, then he has to fast or she has to fast. Only if they're not able to, because of their health reasons or for whatever other reason, if they have a legitimate excuse or reason, only then they are allowed to give kafara or fidya for that fast. It's not an option that you have this option or that option. Or else, you know, all those people who are wealthy, they will never fast. They just give, you know, just write the check. It's that simple. It's not about writing the check. SubhanAllah, alhamdulillah, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa